Our dear Heavenly Father, I come by blood of Jesus into your presence this morning under the covenant of our spiritual fathers, confessing my sins. Lord God, I ask for mercy. Lord, for it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that went upon whom you show mercy. That mercy, Lord, will help us, in particular myself, as I teach today, Lord, to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask for help, Lord, divine assistance, as I duck under covenant of my spiritual parents. Help me to redeem time, to say things only that are necessary. As the word goes forth, let it break chokes in our life, let it meet, let it heal bodies. Lord, as the word goes forth, let it cause our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by the revelation of a Christ's life as the word goes forth, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of the Spirit. I ask for mercy, Lord, to enable to speak as an oracle of God, to bring out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. My Father, I'm trusting you, hide us, Lord, behind that rock, that rock will take us to the end of your force in this service today. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our midst. The Holy Spirit has set you at our right hand. Come and have your way. Come and teach us afresh, even concerning the word of God. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you and welcome your presence in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're in the book of 1 Timothy. And last time we were teaching in this book, we were in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. That is where I rounded up. We were talking about the qualifications of a bishop. And I said something when we started 1 Timothy chapter 3, that there is God's responsibility. This is God's responsibility and man's responsibility. And I said that God's responsibility is that he calls a man and then he equips that man. But apart from that calling, the man also has responsibilities, which are the qualifications that Timothy was talking about in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. When he said, if a man desires the post of bishop, he desires a good thing. And we went on to verse 3 as we do a brief recap. Let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. And we're talking about a bishop. He said that, one, that ruleth well, let's read together please. One, that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. This is very important. He said that before you can say you want to become a bishop or stand in the office of a bishop, and we explain now, I don't think of a bishop as what we see nowadays. A bishop just means an overseer, a pastor, a shepherd. Let's simplify it. Now before you go on, if you desire that post, one of the qualifications is that you must rule over your house. That is, before you even desire or offer yourself up in that area, in that regard, you must rule well your own house, having your children in subjection with all gravity. Already from that scripture, it indicates that there is a tendency not to rule your house well, especially the children in the home. And we mentioned the other time when we were talking, in Amplified, it says that commanding their respect in every way and keeping them respectful. He says he must rule his own household well, keeping his children under control. With true what? Dignity. Commanding their respect in every way and keeping them respectful. For you to do that in your house and for your children to respect you, that means you must be a doer of the word. Yeah. If you are not a doer, if you are an hypocrite, they will not respect you. If you say, go and pray, and you don't pray, they're not going to respect you. They're going to lose your respect. The Bible says that you have to rule your own house well, keeping all your children under control. Very, very important. And what we were talking last time, I said that how do we rule, or what do we rule over? Because it's not just the physical ruling. There's an aspect there where you can discipline your children. But see, the basis, the foundation is ruling by the force of spiritual arms, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to prayer. It's not just the physical ruling, or else you'll be a tyrant. Are you following him? And he said there are two things you have to rule over. You have to rule over, first of all, Satan in the air. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Bible talks about the prince of the power of the air. He tries to make incursion, tries to influence those children, even your wife at times. So it takes spiritual power to overcome the enemy. Because when God put Adam in the garden, if you notice, he told him, the instruction was, keep that garden and guard it. The instruction has not changed from intruders. Keep intruders out of that garden. So every home again is the garden of Eden. And God expects you to rule in that home. Praise the Lord. So rule over and overcome Satan in the air and that power of devil in the air. And then the other aspect, the thing you have to rule again, you have to rule over the carnal mind. Say the carnal mind.
Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8 says the carnal mind, let's go there, the carnal mind is in enmity with God because it is not subject to the law of God, neither it can be. You see, those are the two enemies we have to overcome. The power of the devil in the air, enemy number one. Then the carnal mind. The carnal mind speaks about the sin nature operating through the soul and the flesh. You see, because under normal circumstances, the husband is supposed to be the most spiritual person in the home. So he needs to release the power. The pastor has taught us to learn to rule in the sphere of your influence and dominate that carnal mind. So by the time you do your praying, you do your prayer as been taught, daily, weekly prayer, monthly prayer, really this power that is necessary to make sure there is no void in that home that Satan can occupy through darkness. So that's how we rule. It's not the physical aspect. So when you pray and you dominate the air, it influences that thinking. The Bible says, Psalm 110, verse 2, it says that, rule in the midst of your enemies. You can't run away from your family. You are right there and you rule in the midst of enemy. They are subject to God until they themselves grow to a place I can learn to rule. Praise the Lord. So it was very important. And I gave two examples of Abraham. In the book of Genesis chapter 8, you don't have to turn there, 18 verse 19. God spoke of Abraham. He said, I know him. He said, because he will command his children in the will of the Lord, that God may perform what he has spoken to him. And we gave a negative example of David. How he was ruling over Israel, but not ruling over his family. He was very, very sad. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6, talking about Adonijah. He said, at no time, you can put it on the board, says at no time David corrected Adonijah. Can you imagine? See, then they gave out, he said, and his father, talking about David, had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bear him after Absalom. So you can see what moved from Absalom to Adonijah. David was so occupied about ministry work that he did not take care of his family. That would not be a portion in Jesus' name. So why is God bringing it up again as we move on today? Let's look and move on to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. I mentioned it that other time. We'll talk a bit more about it this morning. Let's read that. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If you can't take care of your house, why do you want to take a bigger responsibility? Are you following me? If your children don't submit to you, if you don't control them, and they run haywire all over the place, how do you think you can control those that are living the same house with you, those that you don't see all the time? And the principle behind this in this first book, chapter 3, verse 5, is in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 10. The Bible says that, the Lord Jesus comes to talk, says that it's faithful in that which is least shall be made ruler over much. That is, the least here speaks about your family. What does it talk about? Captains of tens, captains of fifties, of hundreds, of 1,000. Says, if you're not faithful in that which is least, your family, then why, how come you think that God will entrust you with the church of God? So you cannot see the problem that we have in the church today. Why we see that people that cannot even control, you see, again, if you look at it at a deeper level, but say that cannot rule over his own house, again, you can see as individual, your own body. If you have not learned to control your body, how do you not control the people of God? Jesus Christ said, the blind, when they leave the blind, they end up in a ditch. But God will help us to learn to rule in the midst of our enemies, the carnal mind and Satan. And as I was meditating on the scriptures, this scripture came to me because it's important. If you does not know how, everyone say know how. Know how. That means there is a know how. How speaks about the wisdom. It's not gra-gra that used to rule. Pastor has taught us the how talks about the instruction of wisdom. So how do you rule? We look at a story in the Bible, Esther chapter 1, verse 22, put in Amplified. When Vashti rebelled against the king, and they gathered together. And after they dismissed Vashti from her post, those Memucan and other advisors, the chamberlain, they advised the king. They said something. They said, he sent letters to, let's read, he sent letters to all the royal provinces, to each in its own script, and to every people in their own language. I mean, this is universal. Saying, let's read, saying that every man should rule in his own house. Say, every man should rule in his own house. It's a commandment for every man, every husband, to rule in the midst of his own enemies in the house. So when you learn to rule by the Spirit as you've been taught, through prayer, that's how you rule. The Bible happens to say, God has set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So that kind of man, instead of hindering you from fulfilling God's purpose, it will rather enhance you. Perhaps if the man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies. The kind of mind of the children, including the wife at times, to be at peace. So not the ones that are pulling you back from serving God. Very, very important. So we need to know how do we rule? We rule by the Spirit, using the blood, the word, and the Spirit. I mentioned Psalm 110, verse 2. It says that the Lord shall send forth, let's say, the Lord shall send forth the rod of strength out of Zion. Doing what? Rule in the midst of your enemies. God wants us today to learn to rule. We've been taught over and over, but we need to give the more earnest heed to ruling in our homes in this day we are in. Praise the Lord. So how do we rule? We rule daily by praying, daily prayers, fortnight prayers, weekly prayers, monthly prayers, with all types of prayer in the Spirit. And I mentioned something the other time. I quoted from Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17. There are things we've been doing already. So, but God just wants us to improve and to be more diligent. And what does it say? And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of a congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, say for himself, one, for his household, two, and then for all the congregation of Israel. So David had no excuse. David brought back the ark, but did not rule over his family. So when he was bringing back the ark, the first thing we saw was that Micah despised him, his wife. The carnal mind. When saw David jumping and dancing before God, she began to say, come, you have disgraced yourself. Well, see, that would not have occurred, assuming David had learned to rule. So can you imagine what is going on in our family? We also see the same in the children. We read about Adonijah. So you see, that is the order. Rule over yourself first. Subdue the flesh. Put it under. Paul said that, I do not fight as well. He said, I keep my body under. So after I preach to others, I am not a castaway. That is the first part of call before you start coming to church, to start a church, or to even begin to pray. Rule yourself first. Control your emotions. Bring them under. Then the next thing is your household. Those under the sphere of your influence. They cannot extend that to the church of God. Very, very important. The second aspect of ruling, I've mentioned, we talked about prayer, they go hand in hand anyway, is that the husband or this person that desires to be a bishop, again, when I talk about bishop, don't let us see that those that have been called to the ministry. I said earlier, I'm just repeating again for emphasis. This only speaks, it applies to everybody because our calling is to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the principle applies across board. I follow, so don't say it is for bishops or for deacons. No, it's for every Christian who is aspiring to greater heights in God. Praise the Lord. So then the second aspect is that he must obey the word of God. They go hand in hand, the word and the Spirit. Why am I saying that? It's the word of God that sanctifies. John 17 says, sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. So if you do not obey the word, that person is a hypocrite. For the children, the word, they must see that in class. This what this man says, it does. What I'm saying again applies spiritually. Because we're talking about bishops there. For the glory of God in this house, nobody needs to tell the pastor only do what they tell us to do. Before they even tell you to do, they have even gone ahead. Most of the time, a pastor comes to just, we have been practicing the papa. I've said it one day, like he said, we have been doing it for years. Then he'll now come and teach us a little. You have to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, just like the thing that he began to do and to teach. Now, you may not have perfected it yet, but you must start doing it. That is the important thing. So what are we saying? He must obey the word of God. John 17 verse 19. This is why it is very, very important. Lord Jesus was talking. John 17 verse 19. Let's read together. John 17, 19, please. Let us read together. And for their sakes, who was talking here? And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be what? Sanctified through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So not only prayer. It's prayer that gives the power to actually obey the word of God. You sanctify, you set yourself set apart. He said, I've set myself apart by the word. Why? So the effect of him setting himself apart, it had an effect on Peter, James, and John. except the son of perdition. So that you might be set apart. Look at an example in the Bible. And we'll try and trace the roots to why he occurred. What are we saying? God expects us as husbands and wives also in the same house to learn to rule. Because what you do or you don't do will affect your seed. Because you're supposed to be the anointed cherubim that cover it. That you begin to supplement. That's what Pastor Mommy does. When you wake up in the morning and you don't pray enough, they have done their prayer, they rule. Then they just dump the power on you. Bah! Then you go out that day, you walk in the spirit, you come back. Covering you till the time you're able to stand on your feet. Same thing for every home. Now let us see an example in the Bible. Talking about Dinah, Jacob's daughter. Genesis chapter 34. What I'm saying today is very, very important. We've been taught. What I believe God wants us to do is to take the more earnest heed and don't play down with our prayer life or with the word of God. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto what? Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Next verse. Let's read together. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he did what? He took her and lay with her and defiled her. End of story for Dinah. So sad. When you read this story, it's easy to point an accusing figure at Shechem or Dinah. We are talking about sanctifying yourself by the word. That day under you might be sanctified. We are talking about praying, subduing your flesh, so that same power will be extended to those under your fear of influence, and that will be set apart. Let's look at the root. This is the problem. This is the branch. They were in a place. Dinah left the place. I want to go and visit the people of that place. We have preached many times. So maybe she went for a party that she shouldn't go for, and blah, 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 and they raped her. End of story for Dinah. But that's not the problem. Genesis chapter 33, verse 18. Follow me. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. Verse 19. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. We are trying to move back gradually to find out the root. We are talking about sanctifying yourself, obeying the word of God, either literal or the one that God speaks to you. As I story that comes to my mind about David, when he went to go and number the people, he affected those under him. Let's read verse. Let's go to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. What does it say? And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. There's a scripture before this one. This was after they raped Dinah. So God now spoke to him and said, Jacob, I said, get up. Go to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. But if you back up, I can't find the verse. As you mean, 31, you can't find it. God had transferred the wealth of Laban to him. And the Laban's children were envious. They wanted to fight him. Then God appeared to him in a dream. I think it's chapter 3. God spoke to him. Right before he began his journey, before he met Esau, he said, I'm the God of your father that appeared to you in Bethel. So rise up now and go back to Bethel where you swear to me. That was the destination, not Shechem. If you find it, please put it on the board. It's in 33. I think I missed up my scriptures. It's in 33. Check 33 verse 16. God spoke to him while he was in Laban's house. He said, arise now, it's time for you to leave. Go to Bethel where you made a vow to me. So he packed his things. Have you found it? Verse 30 what? Then will I give you? No. Please let me find it and put it on the board. I'll keep talking. Let me find Pastor Ibrahim. See, God said, he told him while they were there. You know, when he said they were envious of him, they wanted to fight him, they were taking all their goats and all that. Then God appeared to him in the night in a dream. I said, Jacob. He said, I'm the God that you made a vow to. He said, now get up from this place and go straight to Bethel. Please let me find it. Arise in verse 16 or so. Say, go to Bethel. Are you following me? So he packed his bag and everything, his family, all the goats and everything. You know the story, then he ran away. He secretly ran away from Laban. And he kept on the journey. He kept obeying God. He kept obeying God. He kept obeying God. Then when Esau came, God delivered him. He kept moving on. He crossed for Jabbok. Then when he got to this place called Shechem, he settled down. That's the root. That is the root. Let's see. No, it's not this. It's behind. Before 31:13. Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. 31:13. Help me, Holy Spirit, to redeem his time. 31:13, please. Yes, this is it. So let's go. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now do what? Arise and do what? Get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. So where did he anoint when he was running, when he was living, when he started, was at Bethel? So God gave him clear instructions. Said, go back to Bethel. So you see, the problem is not with the daughter that was raped. Spiritually speaking, Jacob was not where to be spiritually. So he exposed his children. So it's not, you see, if you have been moving on to Bethel, which is the house of God. The Bible says that Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says, let us live the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of this and that and that and that. You see, you cannot be stagnant as a Christian. I'm not saying you are doing everything perfectly. But keep moving on. Keep moving forward. Keep up, says, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ. You know why iniquity is abounding. So the power you are using to cover at this time, you need to generate more to push back iniquity. So you can't get to Shechem and stay there because it is luscious, there is grass there, and then you pitch your tent there. So you see what happened to Dinah. It wasn't Dinah, it wasn't Nahor's son, or whatever God had him. It was because Jacob disobeyed God. So it was not in Genesis chapter 35 that God now came to him and repeated the same commandments and said to him in Genesis chapter 35 again, when I appeared to him after all that mess had occurred. And I said, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make there an altar unto God. Meanwhile, if you go and read the check, you made the altar there, called Elohe Israel. Putting an altar where God didn't put him to. What are we saying? Well, say, let us don't see that just physically alone. It may have a physical implication to us. I don't know. You see, there is a sacrifice that parents have to make sure that their children grow. You can't wake up today, leave your children, say, I must work so they can go to school. Yes, they'll go to school. But you must learn to deny yourself of the luxuries of this life so those children can stand because that is your future. That God may perform what he has spoken to Abraham. Amen. That is the key. Don't mortgage your future. Your children are your future. Yes. By money, and then you run helter skelter looking for jobs where God did not tell you to go. That is Shechem. Ah. Where there is no spiritual covering. And you run there, you get the job, you get the money, you get everything. At the end of the day, dinner will be defiled. And that is the end of our destiny. You never heard anything about her again. So was it Dinah's fault too? It was Jacob when he stopped going on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of darkness. You have to keep moving on. There's no, the mama will say, there's no status quo in the realm of spirit. You have to keep moving on. I'm not saying we're doing everything perfectly. What I'm saying is, don't allow the curse of this world to choke the world. Don't allow Satan to move you out of the place called there. Praise the Lord. That's enough. What is not for the wise. So I have sanctified myself. And they may be sanctified. It's the word that sanctified. If Jacob has sanctified himself to the word of God that came to him at that time, Dinah would have been sanctified and set apart. Verse number 6. Not a novice. Verse number 6. Not a novice. Let's be lifted up with pride. He falls into condemnation of the devil. What that means is very simple. It's not a newly born again Christian. Or someone that you can say, I've been born again now for 20 years. I should be a pastor. No. It's not the spiritual babe who has refused to go. If you have refused to go, you are still a novice. You see, I discovered the same, when go down to deacons, it is the same criteria that God gives to them. So it can be, if you have been born again for years, if you refuse to grow spiritually, you are a novice. So the Bible says, don't put a novice in a place of authority. Why? It's very simple. It takes time for you to learn to use the blood, word, and spirit to subdue your flesh. It takes time. I'm not talking about doing today and then you don't do it tomorrow. When you do it as a habit, when you gain mastery over the flesh, then you must start pushing the sin nature out. Or is that thing will rise up? We just go into that guy's head. And the Bible talks about Satan. He said, let's like Satan. Let's look at Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, amplified. He said that, yes, is that not a novice? Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. Say, your talking about Satan. Say, your heart was proud and lifted up because of what? Your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that they might gaze at you. Satan's problem? God bestowed so much upon him. It wasn't God's fault. But could not handle the Bible, iniquity of trafficking. So when you put a novice in place of authority, you see, the tendency has begun to run helter-skelter. You know, when you first get born again, all you think about is trying to win the entire nation for Jesus. You're just giving tracks. Why? Until now, we are being taught that this thing you are doing, you need to tie your time. You need to pray. If you put a novice in place of authority, it will go into his head. And the Bible says, he said, we'll make him puffed up. Why? Because of the sin nature there. That nature of the devil that affected him here is still in his soul and his body. And a new convert, or someone that's not learned to master his flesh, to know that flesh, that sin nature will rise up against him. And the first thing is arrogance, pride, call him a bishop. That is the state of the church today. The blind leading the blind. Those that are not supposed, that can't even rule their own body. See them in a meeting, they'll be eating like no man's business. Gluttons. They're wondering, haven't got learned about being temperate? See them all over the place. So you must not put a novice. What I'm saying also applies to business. It's a principle. Nobody goes to a job. You don't employ someone that doesn't have experience. But in the church, we do it. Maybe because it has money. So unfortunate. So the next verse is verse 7. Let's read. What does verse 7 say? First Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Say, moreover, he must have what? A good report. Let's get that. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. That means the enemy laying snares outside already. That's what it means. The snares are there already. For any Christian, any man of God. But said that man of God must be above reproach. What am I saying? That man of God must make sure that he does everything properly. Case in point, just comes to my heart as I'm talking. The Lord Jesus Christ. They came to him and said, your master does not give tax. And he asked the question. He said, Peter, who should give tax? Is it the children of the house or strangers? Peter said, let's be offend them. Go and give them above reproach. So they will not have any accusation to say, my Oga does not pay tax. Even though he should not, according to the law at that time. But he did that. So they won't find anything. So I'll give us two examples. Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. You see, these same things apply to us as Christians too. Christians should not be driving now without a driver's license. I'm guilty too. You should not be breaking traffic laws. Pastor will say, when you're going that way, go and turn up here. Don't turn there above reproach. Don't practice lawlessness above reproach. Let's see. Then said this man, we shall not find what? Any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him, concerning the law of his God. When it comes to that level, then God stands and fights for you. Because you are above reproach. Let's read the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 19, verse 6. You see, Christians should live above. You see, the things that we shouldn't be struggling with them. They should look at us and find out, this one, too, you can't find anything. The children are in subjection, well behaved. What does it say? John chapter 19, verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me. John chapter 19, verse 6. Help me, Lord Jesus. Talking about Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say? When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto me, take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. know, Pilate looked at the Lord and our master. You know, because Pilate had the right to check him out. They check his dossier, check the man has paid his tax. He does not break laws. He said, I don't find anything anymore. I've checked this man, I don't find him. Three times. Say, I find no fault in him. Above reproach. That is why God could raise him up on the third day. If there was a fault, Satan would have opposed and said, yes, he did this. You cannot. Thank you, sir. No charge. Like mom normally tells us. No charge. Above, say, I will live as from today under covering, using the blood, the word, and the spirit above reproach. Should go on with garments that are soiled and spotted with sin. Let's look at verse 8 as we move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit, help me to redeem the time. Now I began to talk about deacons. You know, I thought that the position of a deacon will bear less responsibility or qualification. That way we see deacons. Most people in church, they think about deacons as those that are just cooking rice all over the place. So once anybody can become a deacon, everybody is long to be a deacon. And you're diaconing, then they will put it on their kidney. You are better learn to fulfill the responsibility than long for the title, because you are going to be either rewarded or judged by responsibility. In this church, by the grace of God, there are many deacons, but they don't call themselves pastors. They don't call them deacons. All those that are working in the building community, they are serving the office of a deacon. Are you following me? So the only difference when I study this in verse 8 is that, let's read verse 8 before I move on. Say, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre. If you read down, I'm just summarizing it. The same things he said about the bishop applies to the deacon. The same thing. That's why I say, likewise. As in the same way, concerning bishop, same thing applies to deacons. We'll see why it is very important as I continue. What is the only difference there, if you look at it, is teaching. It says apt to teach for a bishop. Somewhere up there. But here it doesn't talk about a deacon to teach. Teaching here is talking about being called the fivefold ministry. Not that the deacon can. Of course, Stephen taught. Of course, Philip preached. Every Christian should be able to preach and teach. Say, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. But being a deacon is not called to the fivefold ministry. It's an office. It's not in that category. That's the only difference between bishops and deacons. Are you following? So let us know, who is a deacon, for God's sake? Who can get the very clear? Who is a deacon? I look at the dictionary. The dictionary definition says that a deacon is a designated minister of charity. That is, I will explain what that means. Not agape now. Charity there represents, you know, when like we have this committee in church that give out a benevolence committee. That kind of thing, they're in charge of that. Another version says that is a lay leader who assists the pastor. So that is a deacon. Someone in charge of charity. Or somebody who has been called to assist the pastor. So there's nothing like deacon board that tell the pastor that he can't do this. You can see how the church has skewed off in the wrong direction. Let's look at it so we can see whether this definition fits what the Bible says. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Help me to redeem this time, Lord, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. Acts 6 verse 1. So, let's look at it. And in those days, when the number of disciples was what? Multiplied. There arose what? A murmuring of aggressions against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. They were sharing food and all that stuff. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then, the 12. That's the fivefold ministry represented there. The apostles. I follow. Let's read together. Then, the 12 called what? The multitude of the disciples unto them and said, let's read together. It is not risen. Let's read together. It is not risen. It is not risen that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They can see what a deacon is called to do, to serve tables. It's not wrong to serve tables. Next verse. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you, seven men of what? Begin to look at the qualifications. So, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Appoint over this business. But look at their qualification. No? Say full of the ghost. This is not talking about carnal Christians. The fact that you have been called to serve tables doesn't mean you should be carnal. It's sad. It's sad. Don't let me go there. It's sad. People have been called to serve the man of God. They take liberty for granted because they're under covering. You don't know those that you're working with, though. Go to pastor's house. You are walking like pastor. Have you prayed? You look at you like this man. Well done. Mom will say, move. I have to get to church. Let's go and pray. That is the spirit, though. That is the spirit. To catch the spirit of a leader. When you are called to serve as a deacon, you know why God has called you? He wants you to catch the spirit of a leader. To catch the spirit of a leader. Not just run around. It's fine to run around. But catch that spirit. It's an honor. It's a privilege. Many years ago, pastor taught us, they gave us a book called God's Armor Bearer. You must learn to carry their armor like this. At the same time, you are taking the coffee. You are learning. There's some things you begin to see that others don't see. Begin to see that when you are taking pastor to church, you're always praying all the time. We don't understand why we keep quiet in the car and say, you should receive something. Then you begin to learn. Not all of us can be in that position. But if you are called to, we define deacon as those that minister about charity and those that have been called to assist. So why? So that the man of God can be free and have rest. So he can give himself to prayer and the word of God continually. So he's not distracted. That is why you have been called to be a deacon. So appoint over this business. So it's business. So pastor was among them. They don't have to worry about building committee. All they just do is bring the report. They look at it fine. Then they go back. They submit. They go back. That's the office of a deacon. Not you have your own opinion. When you start having your own opinion, in somewhere in Hebrews, I don't want to turn there. It says that, he said, as Moses was faithful to him that called him, who called you to be a deacon? You were faithful to him that called you. God will have mercy on us. So the deacons are called to help the set man oversee the business of a church and serve tables. Even though they serve and help the set man in physical things, it is not an office for carnal Christians. He says there must be an honest report, but the full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That's the criteria they used to pick deacons. The first time deacons were mentioned in the Bible. And I look at the example. That means if you look at the Old Testament, there are people, they didn't call them deacons, but they served as deacons. Look at Joshua, for example. It's a perfect example. And a pattern to follow. Let's read. Like I said, you are serving, you catch the spirit of a leader. The Bible says, can two walk together except they agreed? If you don't catch that spirit, after some time, you're going to fall away. Because the physical activity will get to a place that you can't move again. And what keeps you going when the rubber hits the road, when you get to Jordan, and it seems that you have lost everything, you will turn back. And then you go back to school. And say, I've been working all this year. She be there today, went back to go and get the degree. So I'm going back to school. No. The problem is because you are not following them by the spirit. If you are following by the spirit, if you are supposed to catch the spirit of God, let's look at Joshua because of time. Exodus chapter 24, verse 13. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Exodus chapter 34, verse 13. Put that at the back of your mind. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Not only in physical things, but in spiritual things. Exodus chapter 24, verse 13. 24, not 34. And Moses rose up. And his minister, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. Servant, or so to speak, deacon. He has been called to assist the man of God. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Let's see the spirit that you must carry. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, what? Face to face, as a man spake unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his what? Servants. Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. That is the spirit you have. Longing to know the God of your father. You see, because if you don't learn that, all you are doing is secular. If you are driving them around, a driver and a person can even do it better than you do. They can hire somebody to do it better. When you have that spirit, as God is talking to them, he also talk to you. Then you can flow. That is what makes our destiny. You have fulfilled destiny. That's how you cross over Jordan. That's what you should be doing. Don't be content with just running after skelter. Don't be content. Say, God, I want to do the God of my father. I want to do Pastor Abomidi. I share, Lord, I do understand. I need to understand why. Don't be content. As I'm a deacon, I'm serving the man of God. Oh. We'll see later. I said, we'll read it very soon. He said, they must possess the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Yes. Revelation concerning the perfection of the fullness of Christ. If you don't have it, my dear brother, that will not be a passion. We'll have it in Jesus' name. So, why is this important? Proverbs 27, verse 18. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's begin to round up. Proverbs 27, verse 18. Say, whoso, let's read together, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat what the fruit thereof. So he that what waiteth on this matter shall be honored. So that's not being honored. He that waits upon this matter, like Elisha will pour water on the hands of Elijah. How many examples in the Bible? I don't want to mention it. As we are doing the physical aspect, giving the man of God rest, so the man of God can pray and do all the other things. They will take the man of God's children to school. They will take care of everything so that the man of God can give time to God. As you are doing that also, you are also using your other hand with your own weapon. You may not do everything. You cannot do everything man of God is doing. But little has been assigned to you. Make sure you are doing it. Just don't throw your arms in the air. So I've been working all day, so I don't need to pray again. I'm under covering. Oh. Okay. We'll see. What kind of honor? You see, honor comes from them in two ways. Either they honor you materially, or God honors you. They can honor you and bless you for the work you have done. Give you this, give you that, give you this, give you that, bless you. Oh, thank you so much. Who brought rest to me. Fine. End of story. But God wants us to have both honors. The second honor that you see, they may want to give you. But if you don't qualify, God will not give you. Only God can give that honor. He said, Moses, call them. So I'll take the spirit upon you and put it upon them. That is the honor. What is that honor? You have the same spirit upon that man, upon your life. Amen. And the fathering ministry. So our labor is not in vain. Thank you, Jesus. The same spirit upon them. Numbers chapter 27, verse 16. Numbers 27, verse 16. Looking at Joshua. Joshua was ministering to Moses. Verse 16 says, then let the Lord God, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set what? A man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as a sheep which have no shepherd. Notice, was it only Moses that was, Joshua that was serving? It wasn't possible Joshua alone to serve him. There were those that were carrying the tent all the day. It wasn't only him. But he had an excellent spirit. Next verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, take what? Let's read together. Take the Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of the leader, and lay thy hand on him. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Next verse. And thou shalt do what? Put some. We are talking about honor here. He wasn't giving him money or a car. Say, and thou shalt what? Put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Obedience is by his force of spiritual arms. From covering, say that same honor on you. If Joshua was not following and didn't have the spirit of leader, you can lay hands on him until he gets bored, nothing will happen. Now let's look at what happened. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me to redeem time. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was what? Full of the spirit of wisdom. For what? Moses had laid his hands on him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded him, Moses. So he obtained two honor. Moses was blessed him physically. But that honor that no man can give, honor from God, comes from God alone. What took that same spirit? You are the next leader that's taking them over Jordan. But see where I started from as a deacon. Corinthians chapter 3, verse 22. 322. Help me, I think my time is up. 322. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Next verse. I need to stop. Oh, yeah, please. And whatsoever you do, do it at least as to the Lord. when serving the man of God, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Or else all you end up is with natural reward. Next verse. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the what? The reward of inheritance. That is the spirit without measure. For you serve the Lord Christ, not the man of God. If you are serving the man of God, you're not serving as unto the Lord. All you're going to get is that physical honor. And it fades away with time. This one cannot fade away. Verse 8. Ah, Lord, I need to stop. I wish I could get through. Verse 8. Help me. I don't know. Can I have 5 more minutes, sir? Help me. Verse 9. Okay. Okay, no. Verse 8. Verse 8 first. Please amplify. I'll just say verse 8. Amplify it. 8. And in like manner, talking about deacons now, back to what? In like manner, the deacons must be worthy of respect, not shifty, not double talkers. So they're not talking about carnal Christians. That they sit down, all they can think about is how to gossip about the pastor. It's not carnal Christians, so these ones don't put their flesh on that. Sincere in what they say, not giving too much wine, not greedy, for base gain, craving wealth, and resorting to ignoble and dishonest methods of getting it. I see mommy all the time tell some people, say, start coming for 3 hours after. Start coming. I've seen other people that are operating in the post of faith. You need to come. Next verse. Verse 9. This is what I want to get to. Holy Spirit. Verse 9. What does it say? They must what? No, put it in the KJV. Help me, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Say, the deacons. Holding what? The mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. But hold fast to that which you have, so no one takes that crown. What is the mystery of the faith? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. I'm definitely saying those scriptures. So you don't think maybe the mystery is talking about the faith. It's a mystery. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from Jason, but now it's been manifest unto his saints. What is that mystery for God's sake? Next verse. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So hello, deacon, you must have a revelation knowledge of purpose and destiny. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Your affection and influence of Christ. You're not just called to serve tables. If you do that, you move away, other people will come in. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So I said, can two words together be agreed? Verse 10, our time is up. Amplify. Let me just read through. Anyway, from verses 10 to 12, it talks about the same qualifications that he gave the bishop. For them to rule their own house well, he must be husband of one wife. You know, put it in Amplify, verse 10. We'll pick it up from that next time. I just have to stop. I think my time is up. Pick from next time. And our next lesson, we'll see the importance or holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. 7 were called as a deacon in the book of Acts. Only 2 of them showed that they were holding the mystery of gospel with a pure conscience. Stephen, he was killed. But look at Philip. Philip started as a deacon and he ended up an evangelist because he held on to what? The mystery of gospel with a pure conscience. What happened to the other 5? What happened to the other 5? That was the last. He just elected them, and that was it. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Let me stop. Let's bow down our heads to pray. We'll pick up on our last lesson. So it's not only, it's good to have a desire to be a bishop. It's good to have a desire to serve as a deacon. But the same qualifications for the bishop applies to you. And even to every saint, because I've been called to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not for carnal people. Ministry work is not for carnal people. Body of Christ has watered it down. See, the blind leading the blind. Putting people in positions of authority that they should not be. Because he has donated chairs to the church. Is that what qualifies him? How many chairs did Philip donate when they elected him? How many chairs did Joshua give to Moses? But see the order. So we have been called to serve the man of God at different levels. But the ultimate reason why God has called you, 1, The primary is to free the man of God. So you can pray. So you can study what. That's what you will see. Pastor, when they come, they bring out gems. Can you imagine if they're running up and down the whole place trying to do build committees? They're doing that today. They can't. That's what the apostle said. He said, it's not meant for us to serve tables. To lead the word of God to serve tables. Understand. As a pastor, everything you do must be pointed toward that direction to give man of God rest. So you take care of your business. Then you report back. Yes, well, that's okay. Because I have to report back. After you've done that, and as you are doing that, you are working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure you catch the spirit of a leader. That is your reward. Let's stand up to pray. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh yes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have counted the cost. We have made a choice. We now follow the Lord and obey His voice. From this day and for the rest of our lives, we will serve the Lord.
Oh, it's a prayer. Let's sing it in faith. As for me and my house,
as for me and my house,
yes, we're going to serve the Lord.
We will serve the Lord. Oh yeah.
The cross.
We have counted the cost. We have made a choice. We will follow the Lord and obey His voice. From this day and for the rest of our life, we will serve the Lord.
Let us respond to the Lord by putting one hand on our hearts, and as we've been taught, raise the other hand to heaven. In surrender, let's ask God. I believe we're talking to God for forgiveness. We have been not been diligent. I believe everybody here does this. We do these things. But maybe God wants us to be more diligent. And to be more diligent, we need the mercy and the grace of God. It is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but to God showeth mercy. I say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life in abundant measure. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the importance of ruling over the sphere of my influence by the force of spiritual arms, which is the blood, the word, and the spirit. I come to ask for mercy. I come to ask for grace afresh to enable me to sanctify myself by your word, that those under me, the sphere of my influence, will also be sanctified, set apart for holy use. I come to ask for fresh, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding be flooded with light, that I may know what is the hope of your calling, even what is the glory of this mystery of godliness, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's pray in the spirit. Turum salabakoto mushenda bakoram salabakoto batabakofre. Tosalabakovrom sekabofre. Tosalabakovrom sekabofre. Tosalabakovrom sekabofre. Tosalabakovrom sekab. Bremasabofrem. Tormosalabakovrom sekabofrem. Tormosakabofrem. Tormosebro. Tormosalabakovrom salabakotofre. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we are grateful. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for helping us. Thank you for covering. In Jesus' name.